Michael Krauser's new book of photography is entirely shot on film, in black and white, and processed in a darkroom. His techniques are used less and less in today's modern world, but they're also well-suited for his subject, whose way of life is also disappearing. Krauser spent 10 years documenting the lives of ranchers working in northwest Colorado. The result is a book called Mountain Ranch. Michael Krauser, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you very much for having me.
Can you start by telling me about this place? It's totally, typically Western, right? I mean, it is just screams Western United States.
It absolutely does, but it's also very much Colorado in that it's in the mountains, and it was pointed out to me early on that that's a different kind of ranching, and that's in the end why I called the book Mountain Ranch, because I wanted to show that kind of place and that kind of ranching and also display some of the landscape that makes it so.
So you take these photographs over the course of 10 years, from 2006 to 2016, and
right.
You're following nine families who are making their living off the land and who have done so for many, many generations, sometimes going back all the way six generations. Tell me about the people you photographed.
Well, the people are of that place in every way. A lot of the older people that I interviewed and photographed were actually born on the same piece of land or next door to where they're living now and to where they worked their whole lives and then retired. They're wonderful people. Everybody that I came in contact with was kind to me and friendly and willing. Even if they were somewhat shy, they were willing and interested in having me there to look at and document their way of life.
Were they skeptical of you, an outsider from Minnesota?
Well, you know, when I first started the project, I was actually living in New York, and I think that sometimes that kind of made its way to somebody. So this quote-unquote New York photographer was coming by, and I think maybe some people had some preconceptions about what they were going to meet. But I guess at heart, I'm a Minnesota boy, so, you know, I had a way of relating to people from more rural surroundings, I guess. They were never too afraid of me and were always welcoming, even if it took, you know, a few minutes or a few hours to get used to me.
Well, clearly they ended up liking you. You did this project, as we said, for a decade, and there's something interesting about that because you were able to track how some of the people on these ranches change over time, including a young woman who was just 12 years old when you started. Her name was Madison George.
Yeah, Madison George was a daughter of one of the families from Yampa, Colorado, that I photographed. And I made a portrait of her and some other young people one of my first visits out there in 2006. And the portrait that I made of her just stood out as one that people always wanted to ask about, always wanted to talk about. It's something about the look on her face, the gaze into the camera was somehow arresting and intriguing enough that people always stopped at it and asked about it. And when I finished the project, I realized that I'd been photographing Madison and some other people for 10 full years. And kind of in recognition and honor of that portrait and of her, I asked if I could make one more portrait of her to finish off the project. And so the last picture I made for the book was a portrait that was an attempt to emulate the original one of Madison.
So you track how she changes over time, but one of the fascinating things about the work is that in some way you have showed how this lifestyle, this job, has not changed at all over the years. Many of your photographs, as I go through the book, I can't tell whether or not you've taken this photo in 1860, in 1970, in 2016. There is a timelessness to the pictures that you've taken. Did you do that on purpose?
I did do that on purpose, and it's not really an attempt to make old-looking photographs as much as it is to take photographs that don't really reference popular culture, if you can see the difference I'm trying to make there. I really don't include any evidence of popular culture, no tennis shoes or sunglasses or baseball hats or cars or architecture or typography. It's all just the traditional elements of traditional lives. And I really feel like you know, one picture can contain that, but if you have a whole series like that, you by the end of it, you feel as though you've had a certain type of experience, I believe.
I think you're right. I think also that it comes down to essentially three main elements in the imagery, which is the men and women who you photographed, the animals that they work with, and the landscape where they're working.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's it.
That's a good observation. There are other elements as far as, you know, photographically speaking. There's a real, I try to pay a lot of attention to things like composition and strong, simple compositions, which I actually think also go a long way towards giving an experience by the end of a book.
Let's talk about some of the photographs. The one that struck me was this picture of a coyote hanging on a barbed wire fence.
Right.
It's dead. Clearly a rancher had just shot it.
Right. Actually, the guy in the next photo shot it.
The next photo is... Oh, yeah. In fact, I'm looking at it right now. He's got a rifle slung over his shoulder.
That's it, yeah.
That's a very Western image, that picture of the coyote hanging on the fence.
Yeah, to me, that was really an important picture in the book because, for one thing, it shows that I wasn't really trying to just romanticize this whole thing. It's a really rough and tough, earthy kind of subculture. Then I wanted to show that was true. And you know, there is a lot of death in their life, and I wanted to exhibit some of that just to give it a sense of truth.
There's another photo of a rancher. All you can see is his hand, and there is mud just dripping off of it, and I think that's another reference to how hard the work is. I mean, we can sit here in our comfortable perches in a studio and talk about how, you know, what a beautiful life this would be, but you probably had to tackle this idea of sentimentality, how not to make this look too glamorous or something that it's not.
Well, you're right, and I also do have kind of an innate fascination with the rougher elements of their lives. So for me, it was not something I had to talk myself into to photograph the mud and blood and spit and, you know, the whole thing. I spent a lot of days, you know, sitting down in cow manure or kneeling in it, or, you know, it's just part of the deal. And these people finish their days covered with all such things.
And the animals themselves, you can see the struggle that they go through. We mentioned the coyote, but I'm thinking about the cattle, the photographs of these cattle. You can see the something going on in their eyes. You get such close-up pictures of them where you can see the drama they're going through.
Yeah, especially during branding. That's a tough day for those calves. And, a lot of their life is calm and pastoral, but they have some distressing elements to their lives as well. And I wanted to show that, too. I wasn't trying to make any kind of a point about it being a difficult world for animals or people, but it's just what I saw, and I thought it was important to relay as much truth as possible.
So in many ways, the life of a rancher has not changed, but also in other ways, everything has changed about their lives. Big questions about whether or not this lifestyle can continue itself into the future. You get into that at the end of the book, especially in some of the interviews that are done with the people you photographed. I'm thinking of Nick Struby.
Right.
He says his kids would love the ranch to take it on after he passes, but it's just not going to happen, which is a typical problem these folks are facing.
Yeah, there were a number of ways in which people expressed to me that ranching was a disappearing way of life. And one of them was this idea that inheritance taxes would make it impossible for the next generation to just simply take over. As Nick says in his text there, you can't keep selling the same piece of land over and over and keep it going. There's other reasons why people feel that their way of life is not long for this world, including other inheritance issues like splitting up a ranch amongst a whole generation of people, which makes it impossible to continue, or the idea that a young person could not be a new rancher because where would they ever get the money for land and stock and machinery and such? But also there's the development of the land around them, and which takes away land available for cattle ranching. The development of land for residences and recreational land, it's something that really sticks in the craw of these ranchers, this idea that their land is going away. And it kind of sets up a conflict with, you know, what they call rich people coming in and buying up a ranch, a whole ranch that had been used for raising cattle and simply using it for recreation two or three times a year.
Mm. Photographer Michael Krauser, the new book is called Mountain Ranch. And I have to say one thing before I let you go is that the cover of this book is so beautiful. It's a photo of a cowboy in action getting onto his horse's saddle. The cover is just so pretty. I didn't even want to put a thumbprint on it.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's a powerful photo of a young rancher named Ryder Becker who was out checking calves, and it turned out to be a really strong picture.
Michael Krauser, thank you so much.
Thank you.